Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
What is it with you people when you can't get here on time? I'm lecturing to the people who are here on time, like Sean Flower, who's always on time. How are you this afternoon, the mayor of Eureka?
Doing great.
I don't think that you're tardy ever, are you?
I try and be on time.
Jane,
we came in at the same time.
Jane kind of knows, you know, she's got to be here at a certain time, but Jeff Smith's late every week, right? Why do I keep
much.
The only reason I keep inviting him is because
he already went to jail.
Right, exactly. So there's no risk.
So there's no risk.
He never sees any downside to anything.
I mean, I've always been concerned that I will go to jail if I'm late.
Well, let's.
But he's already, you know, he doesn't care.
Jane, I did make this offer. We're going to talk about this as a topic. Rennie not disappearing from KSDK, but I made him an offer. He had a question yesterday. What should I do next? I said, we can be a panelist.
Why doesn't he come? Yes.
He could be a panelist. But again, 10% of the panelists go to federal prison, as you just indicated.
Yeah, but Rennie wouldn't.
You never do. I didn't think Lewis Reed was going to federal prison, but there it was. It happened.
Maybe I should be late a little more.
There's a little tracker. We've only had five people on the panel who have gone to prison, Sean. Right. I mean, over the 14 years that we've done it, so
right.
that's not too bad.
That's not too bad of a person.
How are you, Jane? You were gone for a couple of weeks doing a little international travel. I know that.
Oh, wow. I mean, it was incredible, but boy, reentry sucks. I mean, it's hard.
Tell me about it.
Yeah. Mark,
you're not telling me anything.
You know what, Mark? I was like, oh, my God. What if like, I'm spiraling? Like, what if it is Greece?
That's what's weird. Yeah, Jane was just in Greece. When I got back, that's when I got hit with the mental health thing. And, you know, again, this is so weird to me, but it is a thing. If you Google it, and I've had some shrinks tell me this, that upon returning and traveling east, but not west, so say you're coming from Hawaii or something else back, people are affected. So I don't know what it is. You know, when I was in Greece, I don't think you went to this. Can't remember this little town we were in. But tell me how this makes sense. So we're in front of this church, and there are pigeons. I mean, like, you're talking maybe 100 pigeons, right? And they're on, you're facing the church, it's on the left side of the church. So you walk toward the pigeons, you know, the pigeons will all fly up in the air if you walk toward them, or a dog does or anything. Every time the pigeons go up in the air, they land on the left side of the church. They never, ever, ever land on the right side of the church.
That's nature.
In front of the church. Why? That's so weird, though, isn't
it? It is weird. But you know what? I mean, yesterday I was like, I felt horrible yesterday. I'm like, this is it. I'm getting sick. Something's wrong. And then today was the first day I woke up normal.
Yeah,
and
right.
It takes a while. It takes a while.
It does take a little while. All right. I think we got Jeff Smith here. Our final
look at
panelist.
Him. He's all snazzed up.
I know.
That's not.
Well, it's typical that he's late. It's not typical that he's all dressed up these days.
Usually shorts.
Yeah. Thanks for making it. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
Should we start now?
I sense a little sarcasm.
Sue, how are you?
I'm fine. Thanks for asking.
But see, the thing is like we did, if it was the regular roundtable time, which used to be like 3:08 because we had breaks, you'd been around on time.
Been fine.
That's the thing. We start this a little earlier.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Like 6 months ago. Yeah. Thanks for paying attention.
Okay.
Yeah. We do start a little earlier than usual, which is why you're late. All right. So let me get into some of the stuff. And we're going
to
talk local stuff as well. I don't know who watched Trump and Zelensky today. Mm-hmm. It wasn't quite as tense as it has been in some situations. Although it was interesting because did you guys see the visuals at all of what was happening? Mm. So he's sitting around, you know, Trump is sitting around with the cabinet and everything, and Zelensky's facing him at the table. And the media is behind Zelensky, right? So he basically makes Zelensky sit there with his back to the media for 40 minutes, and he answers questions about all this stuff. Now, he made it pretty clear that he wants a deal. He made it pretty clear that he thinks that Putin wants a deal, and he had a phone call with him yesterday that was extensive, and they're going to set up a meeting in Hungary. He also made it clear that even though Zelensky wants the Tomahawk missiles, that that's not on, you know, the board right now. He was asked whether or not, you know, the threat of the Tomahawk missiles is something that is being used as a negotiating piece. It seems so, maybe it is. But he was very, you know, the president was very confident that he's going to get a deal. I think he's bolstered by what happened on Monday with the hostage release. And he, I really sincerely think, Sean, I'll start with you, he wants to get something done here. But, you know, when you hear the particulars, I first of all, I'll say this. We can go to Israel and what's going to happen with Gaza. You have a hard time me believing that that thing's going to settle down and the ceasefire is going to hold. In this situation, I mean, Zelensky still thinks he can win this war. So I don't know where the peace part of that plan is going to come from.
Yeah, and it's so hard when you have people entangled like that to figure out how you unwind it simply. But I guess all I can say is I'm sure there's so much behind the scenes and detail and odd stuff going on. But you got to give the guy credit for slinging everything he's got, spending a lot of time on it, saying Trump. I mean, spending time on it. And, I mean, even these conversations with Putin about, you know, you don't want me to send him Tomahawk missiles, do you? I mean, you can tell there's a strength diplomacy instead of a, you know, we're way past sending John Kerry to, you know, saying you've got a friend to people where we're actually engaging in diplomacy and we're trying to take on issues. And I think you can see a difference. So, I mean, none of us thought he would get even to phase one or, get, you know, it'd be hard to get the hostages out, and all of a sudden it kind of happened. So I think there's something to be said for being relentless and really putting the pressure on it.
Jeff?
I agree. He's been energetic and, you know, very focused on Gaza and Ukraine and sending money to Argentina. I swear I was reliably told that America was going to be first, you know? So I'm just a little confused by
look, you
by
know,
that.
To your point, I will say this, that there are people on the MAGA side.
As opposed to the $20 billion going down to Argentina.
I understand the jab, and there are people that are on the MAGA side that aren't happy about some of that, right? You know, my position on Ukraine is I'd like to see it over. I don't see that. I've never really seen it as a winnable situation, right? So that's why I think some force and diplomacy.
I don't see a lot of MAGA on it, though, because the biggest issue I think that most of his base had was paying for it for free. I don't think they ever were averse to Ukraine. I don't think the average Republican.
There's a little out there, though. There's
people that
don't definitely
want to spend
rumblings.
The time, but I
right.
think as long as he doesn't, as long as you're not spending a lot of money and resources there that could be spent here, say, on hurricane victims or other things that are going on, I think it's more of a fiscal issue, I think, to a lot of Republicans than it is a policy issue.
For some, not all, though. I mean, there's pushback in some quarters,
which is
going
to be interesting to see how that arises to this, you know, bailout in South America, right? Because I've heard more of the fiscal concerns around that. Like, what is that getting us, you know,
right.
who, like, what, you know, how
what have they done
propping,
for us
yeah,
lately?
How does propping them up benefit us so much? I mean, they're not like one of our, you know, top trading partners. So, you know, they're not the country that's like buying the most grain. And when you look at, you know, kind of the impact of some of the things that are happening around China, right? You guys saw this week, I don't think it was one of the topics, but, you know, Trump threatening, hey, we're going to do 100% tariffs on everything. You know, as you see, if you see some of this stuff on YouTube and you read about it, you got farmers all over Missouri that are freaking out about this, you know, that are saying, hey, like, we're going broke. We can't do anything about the loans on our John Deere. You know, we got to pay that no matter what. And it looks like we're probably going to have some kind of bailout, you know, for those farmers again. So, you know,
the hidden tax.
Yeah. So how much sense does it make? How much sense does it make to like get the money in tariffs, create massive amounts of uncertainty for farmers all over the country?
It's the art of the deal.
And then bail people out, you know, on the back.
I'm just glad everybody's all America first. I'm glad you guys are all worried about the farmers and we're going to be worried about American prosperity. We're going to focus on ourselves. If nothing else, he has refocused as he does the conversation. So
once he got us focused, he stopped.
He's always
one
step ahead of you.
It is. I the whole farmer situation, that is not going to be as clean as he thinks it is. And because once you start helping helping some farmers, you're going to help them all. And that is going to be a very, very expensive proposition. So at some point, the art of the deal is going to turn on him. Because once you start subsidizing some, I don't know how you turn that spigot off. I mean, I don't know how
Well, we've never been able to do it. Yeah,
right.
Honestly.
Right.
We've never been able to do it.
No.
We
so
tried
why
in the
not
90s.
You know, like, I got to tell you something. Like, this is, I mentioned this every once in a while. It was the only work that I really ever did, you know, real work for a living. When I was 13, 14 years old, I worked on a farm in a not suburban Chicago. It was way out near Aurora, which is now like suburban Chicago, Big Rock, Illinois. And I walked soybean fields and I did stuff like that. But what I didn't know, and I learned this at 13 or 14 years old because my mom's aunt and uncle were farmers, that they were paying them to not grow crops. I'm like, wait, what are you talking about? I mean, it was mind-boggling to me even as a teenager. And of course, we've always done this with farmers, right? To try to manage what's going on with supply and demand, and you know, to try to balance things off. But it's a tough balancing act.
Do you remember Catch 22? Did you guys all read Catch 22?
Yes, of course, because we were forced to. Right,
Major, and there was like a great opening to a chapter that said Major was a rock-ribbed conservative who, you know, awoke at the crack of noon every day to make sure that the alfalfa seeds were not planted so that no crops could be grown to ensure that he got all of his subsidies.
Right, right. I mean, and that it's so bizarre. But on the farmers, look, the farmers have been nervous about all these tariffs all the way up until now, and a lot of people have, and I expressed concern about the tariffs as well. But it seems like, you know, again, that's Trump using some negotiating strength. And I think that things have not been as doom and gloom. I mean, the farmers are in a different category as they were.
That's all anybody's been talking about. It's how we're going to get killed with tariffs. Our lumber prices are going to go through the roof. Fuel's going to be through the roof. Everything. I mean, we've been hearing nothing but doom and gloom on it forever. For the last however since he's been elected on tariffs.
Well, homebuilders are the only people who never get subsidized.
But I'm just saying we're not really seeing prices are up, but nothing like the inflation. If you guys are worried about tariffs, they're nothing compared to the inflationary problems we had the last couple of years. They're nothing like that. And if nothing else right now, especially all the shutdown going on, it's amazing how that's all of a sudden a big source of funding for the government that he's been able to pay things. I mean, it's just a more complex story than tariffs bad.
I think we've
jumped too far. I think it'll take time for it to be able to see what the result is.
That's Sean Flowery. He's the mayor of Eureka. Jeff Smith, former state senator, is here. Jane Duker on the panel. She's back after a couple weeks off. It's a Reardon Roundtable.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
There's searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Well, on a Friday. Friday afternoon, a Reardon Roundtable on 97.1 FM Talk. Don't forget, we have our big birthday celebration coming up next Thursday at Lit Cigar Lounge, and it's free. You just have to RSVP and tell us that you're coming. We have the VIP tickets are all sold out. Sue, have you checked StubHub to see what the prices are?
No,
up
I have
there?
Not.
I bet you can grab a couple of wristbands up on StubHub right now. We have Jane Duker back on the panel, making her triumphant return after a couple of weeks off. The mayor of Eureka, Sean Flower, is here, and former state senator Jeff Smith as well. Which, Jeff, I'll start with you here. Are you going to go down to the Hate America rally at Keener Plaza tomorrow? It all starts at noon. The march starts a little after 1. You can, you know, wave your Palestinian flag and chant death to America and all that kind of stuff. I'm looking forward to it myself. How about you? You want to go down together?
I am going to be in the ruby red state of Tennessee for my kids' rock climbing competition.
So that sounds a lot more fun,
yeah,
doesn't
it? I'm going to be there. My girlfriend is contemplating attending, though. So we are going to be with Scott Fitzpatrick, the state auditor, tonight, and Alex Riley, the House Majority Leader. So I think she was going to ask them if they wanted to join her.
So you're going to be with sane people tonight. And what you're telling me is now you have a left-wing radical girlfriend. Congratulations on that. No surprise. Who's going to go to the Hate America rally tomorrow? That's
Everybody
good.
Everybody wants one left-wing radical. Come
on. Let's be honest. But, you know, you got, like, what is the shutdown continues. Now we're hearing, you know, this thing might go into Thanksgiving or something like that. What is this a Democrat shutdown? I mean, our side voted to keep the government open. Your side wants to keep it closed right now.
The rules are that you have to get 60 votes.
I understand that.
In the Senate, and so that requires some kind of negotiation.
Well, we've had a Republican like Rand Paul says, I'm not going to vote for it, and John Fetterman says, I will vote for it.
And yeah, and Democrats are being, it's not like Democrats are being cagey. They're saying, hey, there's like two things that we want. And if you want to negotiate on these things, then you can have our votes.
But Senator Thune yesterday said that we will talk about, you're not going to negotiate the ACA subsidies right now. You're going to open the government with the CR, and then you can have negotiations. He made that clear. He says he wants to do that. And, you know, I address this issue
right now. Vote yes, and then hope you get what you want.
Yeah, I mean,
but that's not part of this.
That's not art of the deal.
So what do you want? What do you want to have happen? You want them to negotiate the ACA subsidies and go on for weeks and then keep the government closed. That's what you're saying. Because that's what would happen.
No, yeah. I think what people are saying is
Sean's
that,
just laughing.
Is that in the wake of some of the things that have happened over the last few years, like certain Republicans saying Donald Trump has no place in public life and should be banished from public life, and then a year or two later, they're endorsing him for president, right? So that's kind of a macro level. On a more micro level, you know, things like Susan Collins or Murkowski or other senators or Bill Cassidy from Louisiana saying, no, I'm very distraught by what I heard from this cabinet nominee. And then a few days later, they end up voting for him. So there's not a lot of trust there. And so I think what Democrats are saying is, hey, we're being very explicit about what we want. We're kind of trying to save you from yourself here politically so that Republicans aren't the ones
that so
end
nice
up,
of you guys.
That
end
up.
So generous.
I mean, they're so generous.
Well, it's like Christmas come early.
I mean,
Sean, look at that.
I haven't explained it that way.
You guys have such big hearts.
Because Democrats,
God bless you, Jeff.
Because Democrats don't want people to face a doubling and tripling of their health care premiums, the 20 million people.
You mean the ones that they passed temporarily and then renewed temporarily? Those are the ones you're talking about that were supposed to come to an end that are coming to an end?
And all the fraud protections on.
Why not make those?
Those are the ones that I'm talking
about.
Okay,
good. Just
and
checking.
So, you know, I'm not saying Democrats are doing it for the reason of saving Republicans politically, but I am saying there is, if let's just hypothetically say that there were 5 more Democratic votes, this went through with 60 votes, and then at the end of the year, 20 million people saw their health care premiums double or triple. I don't think that'd be great for the Republican Party, do you?
Well, I don't.
For midterms.
I don't, and I know that there are Republicans that are aware of that as well.
Sure.
You know, there are messages that are being
like
said.
Our United States Senator, Josh Hawley.
Yes.
Okay.
Does not want to go through this.
I just remember, I mean, it's just so entertaining because these exact same arguments, both parties flip them, but like when Ted Cruz and all them were shutting down on Obama, you know, you just pass Obamacare and then the Republicans shut down the government. All they had was their one request is that you repeal Obamacare. I mean, and then they held it up and eventually they said, for years, Democrats have said, don't shut down the government, don't put a gun to our head, don't take hostages. And then it's highly entertaining to watch it flip. And all of you guys are making the exact same argument on the opposite side that they make before. There's no principled argument for it. And the thing that I find amazing on it is you've given the keys in a shutdown to Trump and Russ Vought, who are slowly going through and killing. Most of the public can't even tell the government shut down, which is bad for Democrats, because he's done a great job of keeping all essential services going instead of intentionally trying to tank it. And now they're going through and cutting programs all over the place that the public's not even aware of. I cannot believe that you guys, you should be begging them
Mayor
to come
Fowler
back in
for the win here this afternoon. Well,
don't understand then, if these are unnecessary programs, why is he waiting until now?
Because he doesn't have the power to cut them until there's emergency situation. You guys are basically giving him unilateral authority to start slicing and dicing programs that
right
you would have the ability to vote on. He's just trying to help you, though, but he's getting rid of programs you probably wouldn't want, so now you don't have to vote on them. Okay, he's such a nice guy.
Well, so I think like,
he's altruistic as well. Nice try, Sean.
Everybody. So number one, just to take the arguments in order, Democrats have flip-flopped on it, exactly like Republicans have.
Right. Okay? Everybody's taking the opposite position.
Yeah, because Cruz and the Republicans trying to shut it down had the exact opposite position of what they have right now. The only main difference is that Barack Obama was never going to sign legislation to undo Obamacare, whereas Trump is kind of considering, he would be open to restoring those subsidies for those premiums.
But a lot of the things are in the big, beautiful bill that just got passed, so the fraud protections on the illegal alien benefits that are cut, and those are things that they're directly, they everybody
there are not illegal alien. Illegal aliens do not get Medicaid, they do not get Medicare, and they do not get subsidies for the exchange.
Wrong.
No, I'm 100% right. I'm 100% right. What happens is that the money goes to hospitals, okay, and to compensate them for uncompensated care. It doesn't go to illegals to get to take advantage of any of those programs.
But the illegals get the benefit of the care.
It is not the same thing. The only way that it can go to hospitals.
It must be true because he's upset.
None of you guys know what you're talking about here. I'm just being honest. It only goes for emergency care. So if you want to stand up and say, I think people should be left dying in the street instead of going to emergency rooms because they're not citizens of this country, then you can take that position. You're free to do that.
So you do think
but that's where it goes. It goes to uncompensated care for emergency rooms
and
to hospitals,
and if that,
not to Medicaid, Medicare,
okay, fair enough.
Or
but
subsidies.
If that uncompensated care was not there, then this is one of the concerns, and I think one of the concerns that Senator Hawley says, and then in particular the rural hospitals suffer from that because they have to eat the costs.
He's right.
Well, and because the hospitals are not in a position to judge the status of people who come in and who are very ill.
You're bleeding out.
There are already rules and regulations on emergency care, which are separate from the provisions they passed in the Big Beautiful Bill. What they're really talking about is states take the money through these programs, and then they just completely, particularly California, there are newspaper articles talking about how California is providing health care to all illegal aliens, and you think none of that money is coming from the federal government? It's fungible, so they overfund over programs, and they do it through states, and that's a lot of the fraud protection that's on there, and I do know what I'm talking about.
But
it's in the paper.
Missouri,
but you can literally see articles in California.
You said those programs.
The programs of the Big Beautiful Bill, what the reforms in it stop state ability to use the money in a way it's not intended for. It has the effect of preventing healthcare from going to people that shouldn't have it outside the emergency setting, and that's something that you should not be asking for people to do. You're frauding the government. It's not that hard to understand.
What Mike Johnson is up on TV saying is dishonest.
It's simplified. You guys want to make it super complicated, but at the end of the day, you're saying basically they're getting it.
They're not.
They're just not. What you're saying is it's illegal, just like it's illegal to cross the border, but it never happens because it's illegal.
That's not what anyone
quiet.
Says.
No, it says it all the time.
That.
It's illegal to cross the border, so nobody
right.
must be here. So
but
it's
no
illegal. It's illegal for them to get health care. So
no
must
one's saying
not get
that no one's crossing the border.
But
we know that
his
it's illegal
point is
and not
that
illegal,
there is
so
federal money that is going. It's just happening. Look, they're not turning people away, and we're not going to turn people away. But don't you think Missouri's not the best representative of this? But let's go to California, where you have millions of people who are citizens, legal citizens, that don't get the quality of health care that they could potentially get because the money is being shuttered elsewhere. Or same thing with education. But states like that don't seem to care. Your party prioritizes people who came here illegally over American citizens. That's one of the arguments right now. And that's what people are frustrated about, which is why so many people voted for Trump last year.
Doing a $20 billion bailout for Argentina. I mean,
look,
like,
you're
going
to keep going back to Argentina, and I don't even know much about that.
Well, I mean, I am surprised that we are just sending a blank check to another country. I didn't think we were doing that anymore.
Big picture, though, I do think it's interesting how different it's handled, though, because Trump, it's showing that you don't have to do what Obama and what different people have done during the shutdowns to make it as painful on the public as you have to. And it's also amazing to watch him go settle the biggest Middle East conflict we've ever had with the government shutdown. Every day this goes
on. You're going to eat those words because if you think the Middle East is solved, you're on crack.
But what I'm saying is it's a lot better attempt. It's all shut down. He looked pretty good. He's politically, he's doing. And again, does it hold forever? I don't know.
He's lame duck.
I'm confused by, let me go back to Obamacare.
But I'm just saying the government's shut. How does it all happen?
When we were talking about Obamacare and we were debating this back and forth, I used to have Senator McCaskill on all the time. I was told constantly by Senator McCaskill that this was going to reduce premiums. That was what that was all about, right?
It did.
The problem with you guys
dramatically reduce the rate of growth in premiums. For the decade before Obamacare was passed, the average was about 8% annual rise in premiums. It's gone down to 3.2% in the last 15 years. So, no, it hasn't made premiums go down, but it has dramatically slowed
the rate
of growth.
This is the slowing of the growth.
People are better off. They are. And here's the thing. I mean, there's no replacement for booting all these people off of care. I mean, I'm just telling you, what there is no plan for the 20 million people that get booted off of health care that they're now paying premiums for through the federal government. What happens? Do you think that is a good effect or a bad effect?
Well, because, look, it's a very complicated situation.
Look,
from one standpoint, you have people, and this is documented too, and you can't blame them, that are avoiding their employer plans because they get a better deal on the ACA. So then what do you do about that? How do you means test or make sure that people who have the ability...
Well, it's already means tested.
Well, but I mean on the ability to jump on...
But that's part of the problem with these subsidies, though, is they're increasingly, because it's getting more and more expensive for everybody, that means testing is becoming a less and less of an issue because the higher... I mean, it's costing more and more, so more people need it. But I think also the thing that's interesting is here is because it's complex, it shows how inappropriate it is to be done in a shutdown situation in a tiny period of time.
Let's get the government on this one.
I totally agree with Sean on that.
And we should be doing real
budgets. One of the biggest problems with our whole country right now is that we've completely lost regular order in U.S. Congress. We should have committees that have 40 members on a big committee that It didn't start with Obama. It actually started Clinton... In the 90s, it's 30 years. Yeah, Republican Congress, Democratic White House.
Yeah, they balance budgets.
We're dedicated subject matter experts spent a year crafting, you know, budget policy. That worked better than it does when you just have one massive bill that no one wants to vote on, a 2,000-page bill that they can't possibly read.
Hang tight. We got to take a break. We're coming.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Well, let's call an audible here this afternoon on the Rear and Roundtable and talk about a story that is just breaking that will make most of your heads explode, unfortunately. Jane, you just found this for me here this afternoon. It just cleared in our local paper. Millicent Borishud was fired as superintendent of St. Louis Public Schools on Friday after a rocky 15-month tenure marked by criticism of her handling of a school closure plan and a vote of no confidence from the teachers union. She said she was terminated without cause by the 7-member board, which held a 4-hour closed meeting. According to her contract, here's the win for her, she will still receive about $750,000 in remaining salary plus health benefits through June of 2028.
It's so revolting.
She's the one who replaced the woman who
And gee, who
turned,
could have seen this coming because that woman hired her. She was
right.
the crony of
right.
the former superintendent that was fired and spent. And by the way, nobody's gone to jail yet. For stealing
well, the
all the money from,
good
the,
point.
From the district. There's been no prosecutions. What the heck? I mean, how much more do you have to do? I mean, this district is in complete disarray. This is the fifth last straw that we've had, like, in the last year on this district. And this whole thing of we sent it back to the people, since this has gone away from state control, it has gone to hell in a handbasket. And so say what you want, but this is terrible.
It's sad because you are all
Another
these other things.
Of
you
kids.
Combine this with what happened in the aftermath of COVID. You know that there aren't people that are going to school because of the tornado. I mean, I was up in North City a couple of weeks ago. So this is, you know, accumulation of things that are not good for these kids and a next generation here in St. Louis. It's hard enough. And then you have people in these leadership positions who are
she
bozos.
She was at Hooters with the other people. I mean, she went, you know, she was on the boondoggles that were paid
right.
for. And I'm like, gee, board.
It's indefensible.
Easy, Jane.
Well,
don't go after Hooters.
That's
right.
why. But look, Steve Butts, when he's looked into this, this is one of the issues
Butts,
he's passionate
Hooters.
About. He stop
I mean,
it.
We're just saying.
He'd like to know the answers that you're trying to say. Well, where's the culpability on the part of the board, and were there crimes that were committed here, too?
I mean, in just such, at some point, gross, gross, gross negligence turns into intent. I mean, at some point.
I'm going to go against the grain here, and I'm going to stand up for Dr. Borishud. First of all, she's an American citizen. Shouldn't that count for something? Sorry, that was a Des Moines joke. But
by the way, that guy got more charges today too.
You know, he was in St. Louis Public Schools.
I know he was. He was here in like 2017, 2018.
Yeah, I knew him then.
Yeah. Did you really know him then?
Oh yeah, I did. I was on a panel with him. Yeah, but in all
shocking, was it a DEI panel? That doesn't
no,
surprise me.
It was
surprised.
A panel where I took a position that they didn't like very much because
really?
I've always supported charter schools.
Okay, right? All right. Well,
but I will say, in her defense, and I'm going to be serious here. One of the proposals that earned her so much flack was something that needs to be done. And that was one of the things that earned her a no confidence vote from 2000 teachers, staff. And that was, we got to close buildings.
Yes.
Okay. There are school buildings around the city that have 100 to 200 people in them that have capacity for over 1,000.
Yeah, that's unacceptable.
It's totally unacceptable right. because we're spending so much money maintaining the physical plant of buildings that the money doesn't go to teachers, you know, which is what it needs
no,
to
it
be.
No, it goes to Borishud.
Well, yeah, we won't even go into that. Obviously, I don't support
and
that.
And boondoggles but, and junkets
I
and
appreciate
trips and DEI meetings.
That she at least, and that report was, I think, going to be discussed at a meeting on Monday, which has now been canceled. So that
but
was
you know what? They're
the,
not going to get away from that issue. They're going to fire her, and the board is going to be on the hook. I mean,
well, the board should be on the hook.
The board should be on the hook for something.
But then what happens? It's the same damn people who have to choose the next person
exactly.
that runs the school district. You know, there was quite a bit of stability there. I don't know how much the education improved, but Kelvin Adams had, you know, when I first came back to St. Louis, we were talking about schools every six, eight
but
months.
They got
re-accredited,
there'd be
a new, but
which,
he did establish
yeah.
some level of.
Financial
you know,
stability,
right?
If nothing
financial,
else.
Right?
In the state board, yeah, they actually that was appointed. They actually did get to financial stability, and it took no less than like months after that was gone for the financial stability to crash.
Okay, let's read around table. Jeff Smith is here. Sean Flower, Jane Duker. Big story a couple of mornings ago. Rennie Knott, Channel 5, been there for more than 20 years, was a sports anchor. They moved him to the mornings. He had to get up real early. Maybe that's a win for him. He doesn't have to do that anymore. But it happened in very kind of a shocking fashion because nobody knows really what happened.
Mm-mm.
You know, the Nobody's general talking. Assumption would be this is a contract. And it's a money thing. You know, old media, radio included, a lot of challenges. There's no doubt about that. There's still some anchors out there in the television land. They're highly paid, and the ROI is questionable, but this just seemed like something that was so abrupt, and nobody's talking about it, Jane. And believe me, yeah. I've tried to find something out.
You and me both. I mean,
yeah.
I really like him a lot. He is really embedded in the community. People, he is intensely popular. And so I am very curious to see, because I've not seen any pro comments at all. This is like John Kelly all over again, you know, and people are not happy. And
right.
So I am curious what KSDK is thinking. Yeah. I mean, they did that with the weatherman on the morning show. He was surreptitiously just gone.
Anthony Slaughter.
Yeah, but that, you know, Slaughter. That one might have been, I don't know, that might have been a budget thing.
They told him in one day, you're just not coming in.
But
anymore.
Jane, that's what happens. I mean, I'm just telling you. It's unfortunately, I've been there a couple of times. It does happen. But with
20
Rennie,
years in.
With Rennie, I think that if it was like a contract thing or something like that, I think you'd probably say something, you know, and
like
just
we couldn't
that
come
clear.
To agreement
right.
on a contract.
That's why, and I said this yesterday, I have no information, and I've heard a couple of rumors that I just don't even believe, but I just have a feeling that someone was triggered, and this was one of those zero tolerance things with an HR department. I don't know. We'll see if the story even comes out. But let's broaden this a little bit, because I have John Pertzborn's coming on in the next hour to talk about his retirement. He's actually retiring. He's been on a bit of a farewell tour with Fox. Next Wednesday is his last day. John's been in the market for 40 years, been here for a long time. You have people, you know, whether it's Kay Quinn or you can name a host of other local reporters and anchors who just aren't there anymore on the ground doing reporting. I put Kevin Killeen on the KMOX side into the mix as well. And you have a situation that isn't good for St. Louis with local journalism. The paper has been stripped down as well. I gave the Post credit because I think they did a good job in exposing what was happening at SLPS with that superintendent. You need local journalists.
Yes.
I'm not crazy about some of the guy like this Mark Maxwell guy gets on my nerves at Channel 5, but at least he's chasing down stories and asking questions.
Right.
So I'm concerned about local journalism. I don't see where it's going to improve.
It's not getting better. And the good reporters are leaving or they're getting pushed out. And you know, you can't fault the 12-year-olds that come out of
college.
Well,
they're hiring them right at J school, right?
And, you know, they don't know anything about the community or anything. And St. Louis is so very parochial. This is a blow to I think it's just an erosion of good journalism. And it's sad.
And kind of a microcosm of what we've seen nationally, where you have, you know, the kind of elite papers are doing fine. You know, Wall Street Journal, New York Times, elite writers start their own Substack, make, you know, $500,000 a year by building an audience on Twitter or other social media networks, and then getting, you know, thousands of people to pay $7.99 a month. But it really, you know, erodes the institutions of journalism that can, you know, hold
and
people
it further,
to.
I guess what you call it.
That's because those institutions stink.
Fractionalizes it.
People are talking, even the Post, which is the best tool we get. I mean, so often, you can pick up a Post-Dispatch. The political bent of the front page is almost hilarious every morning. That's why there's, you've got at least a lot of red people in the county that won't buy it. Because you can just, it's everything. If it's possible to slant it negatively, it will. And you just see it over and over again. And there are very few, like I just did one even on, and sometimes it's even like anti the area, because I had a gal from outside of, she's new to the area, Post reporter, and they did a story on Six Flags. And again, I gave them good information. I'd met with them recently, but it turned into another headline.
Six Flags is not leaving.
But it was a big headline of Six Flags on the dump going
right,
down.
Right.
Because
oh my
gosh. So it's not even like really, it's okay to have a neutral, informative thing. But it, you know, you just got people flagging. Whereas if I, you know, what's funny is if I do like my local Leader paper that handles kind of our southwest side, Eureka, Plowood, they do more good stories on local government, local stuff, zoning people, and they get a ton of reading, ton of high school sports. I mean, there's a big craving for almost more local stuff. But
I'm going to take issue with that. I don't think it holds water to say they always have the most liberal slant, because the Post-Dispatch and their exposés about Kim Gardner's office helped draw attention to that problem.
That's right.
The Post-Dispatch and some of their exposés about the
school board,
the programs, the under Mayor Jones about, you know, kind of the fraud in the North Side business program.
Yes.
That was exposed by the Post-Dispatch. A lot of the stuff with St. Louis Public Schools was exposed by the Post-Dispatch. So I think there is, you know, good kind of watchdog reporting going on that isn't automatically protecting the kind of, you know,
there's some of that.
I would say it varies national versus local too. I would say probably on some of those you've got some more fair. I tend to look at it more through the lens of what's going on across the country and their headline, and so often the repeat stories are very.
Well, they just reprint AP on the national stuff,
which is where the bias comes from. Hang on, we got one more break. We're coming back. In the next hour, we'll do all kinds of fun stuff like we usually do on a Friday. Jane is going to hang around. We'll have a Friday edition of Sue's News. Paul Hall on entertainment. Frank Cusumano taking us into the weekend with sports. Jane is here on the panel. So is Sean Flower, the mayor of Eureka, and former state senator Jeff Smith. Jeff, I want to start with you on this. And I want to acknowledge something, and I haven't talked about it a lot on the air, but there is this story, because I know you're going to bring it up because you're dialed in. There is this story out there that Politico reported on a couple of days ago about these text message exchanges between a young Republican group. It was revolting. It should be condemned. I think in a way, J.D. Vance tried to handle this a couple of days, and I didn't really appreciate what he did, because I don't see how I can sit here and criticize Jay Jones and the text exchanges from, but
they're both disgusting.
They are, but here's the difference. The young Republicans, a bunch of numbnut kids who shouldn't have,
Not quite.
Well, one guy was 31 or 32.
A few of them, they were like chiefs of staff to state
condemn
legislators.
Them, fire them. Yeah. I'm fine with that. The difference is that I don't see people on our side standing up for these kids. They may be minimizing what the damage might be, but why is it? I'm asking seriously from a political standpoint. Is it because Jay Jones is black and they're worried about the African-American vote in Virginia?
No.
Then why can't people distance themselves from that guy?
You were honest about that and asked the question in an honest way, and I'll answer it in this honest way.
Yes, I'm very curious.
It's too late to get him off the ballot.
Yes.
Okay, that is the very simple
reality.
Answer. If it were 4 months ago and you could still get him off the ballot, every Democrat in Virginia would be like, those comments were vile. He has no place in public life. He needs to get off the ballot.
Yep.
But it's too late now, and so it's you know.
But can't you still apply pressure and say, okay, he's on the ballot? But
I gotta think that they have gone to him privately and said, dude, you know, like,
it's over.
Blah, blah, blah. You're going to drag down the ticket. Like, fortunately for Democrats, Spanberger is probably ahead by 8 or 9 points. This will probably
tighten a little bit.
This will probably take a few points off her margin.
Right.
She'll probably still win.
That's my guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Winsome, and I really do. But I mean, there is. We're not on the ground in Virginia, and there's a difference in. You know, Spanberger's a good candidate, I would say. I mean, I think she's nuts on the issues, but it's not like she's a wackadoodle out there, and she's well known. And Winsome is, you know, she's a little quiet. She's right.
I
mean, everyone says controversial things. My expectations of looking at the polling is, Spanberger's going to win that, right? Now, on the AG's race,
I think we'll lose the AG race.
Right.
And I think deservedly so. You know, you nominate a candidate who has done those kinds of things. And it wasn't just that. It wasn't just those texts. He's also
116 miles an hour.
And then said like awful things about law enforcement. So I agree with you. I was very disappointed in J.D. Vance for just going straight to whataboutism. And
I didn't like it either.
Yeah,
I'll be honest with you. I didn't like it.
Yeah. I'm disappointed in the state Democratic chair in Virginia for just getting asked a question and just being like, Trump, Trump, Trump. We have no moral credibility as Democrats lamenting the way that Trump has coarsened the public dialogue if we're willing to countenance that behavior on our side.
By the way, I don't know if I have this bite, but I can't even believe I'm going to say something. I'm not really saying something nice about him, but did you hear Mom Donnie last night when he slapped down Cuomo?
He basically
said that's something along the line. That's really good from the guy who sent, you know, elderly people back into nursing homes to die. And I'm like, hey, there's the first time I agreed with Mom Donnie, right? He's not wrong about that. Thanks for coming in, Jeff. Thanks for being on time. We really appreciate that.
Senate time, Mark.
It's good to see you. And it's been a little while. You haven't been on the panel for a while. Also, great to catch up. Sean Flower, always great to have you on, and you weren't wrong earlier, and I appreciate that. And Jane, you're going to hang for the next hour. We'll have some fun. But thank you, gang, for hanging out on the Reardon Roundtable. Let me promote what's coming up here just a little bit. I mentioned John Pertzborn. I'm excited to sit down with John and say farewell to him as a media member. I don't think he's going to. It's almost like a funeral, though, when you retire and you have a farewell tour like this. But John's coming in at 5:32. There's an actor by the name of Dallas Goldtooth who is in town. He's on a new Apple TV Plus show, although now they're just calling it Apple TV, called The Last Frontier. I've watched a good portion of the first episode. Dallas is going to come in the studio. We have Brian Kilmeade tonight as well, the host of Brian Kilmeade's show in the morning here on 97.1 FM Talk, the host of One Nation on Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Central Time. We'll hook up with Brian. I know that he was paying very close attention to everything that was going on with Trump and Zelensky. And by the way, I think he had Trump on it was either on the TV show or the radio show today. So we'll check in with Mr. Kilmeade. Cusumano is going to join us, of course, at 4:50. We have what looks like a sweep by the Dodgers of the Brewers coming into shape. Mizzou plays this weekend on the road at Auburn. The Blues tomorrow night against Dallas, and the STL City final game of the season tomorrow night home against Salt Lake City. And, of course, the Chiefs in action against the Raiders on Sunday.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer.
When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in, here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.